Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, expert astrologer, metaphysician, medium, and psychic to the stars, Sloan Bella.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Michael Tiernan. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh boy, are we going to have a fun show tonight. Now, I say that for many reasons. Two reasons are our guests. Our guests are fun, both our interview guests and our performance guests, and you'll hear it. They are fun. Another reason is because, actually, let me start with a question. Have you noticed lately that a lot of things we thought were true are actually not true? Or actually, I have a couple more questions. Have you noticed, because the other side of that is true too. Have you noticed lately that some of the things that we thought were not true are actually true? And for that matter, there are things that, well, have you noticed that there are things that you knew, and now you're finding out that you actually didn't know what you thought you knew, or what you knew not only was wrong, but like not even in the ballpark? And actually, I could go on and on. And basically what I'm getting at is that I don't know if it's not the time of revelations. I don't know what it is, because we are definitely feeling, some of us, like either things are being revealed, or we're coming to some understandings or some learnings, whether that's because we have computers or cell phones, or whether we're more curious, or I'm not sure actually, but herein lies the main point of all this. This is what I'm getting at. Today, as we're recording this live, it is in fact Monday, April 1st, 2024. And for the majority of the people I know, and that's the vast majority of people I know, today is considered April Fool's Day. And I'm sure that's nothing new to anyone listening to the show. But this might be new to some people listening to the show. Some people I know have recently been trying to tell me that April 1st is actually New Year's Day. Yep, you heard that correctly. This is not an April Fool's joke. In fact, there's a whole theory that the whole April Fool's and it making fun of people on that day came up because they were making fun of people still celebrating New Year's Day on April 1st when it had been changed to January 1st. So, yeah, that's we're going to touch on that. And that's going to be fun. I can tell that's going to be fun. And we'll get into it in just a moment.
So I'm confused.
Right.
Is our show about things we know, or things we know we don't know?
We don't know, actually.
Or things we don't know that we know we don't know? All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Wait, what are you getting at? What's your question? Well, so we've titled this show episode, our episode 783. We've titled it Spring into the New Year. Clever we are, and you'll see why in a moment. Well, you get the hint. Our interview guest is an expert astrologer. She's a metaphysician. She's a medium and psychic to the stars, and she's so much more, and she just finished her book, and we're not going to talk about it until it's out, but in the meantime, we welcome Sloan Bella to the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Sloan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pumped.
I got the unmute button off. I was like, oh no. Yeah.
I am pumped. I should say, Happy New Year, Sloan.
It is. You too. It's the real new, you know this is the real New Year. You know that, right? I mean, people No, they trick us. I don't know who the tricksters are, but whoever they are, they okay. Should I say why I think it's the new year?
Tell us why you think it's the new year.
Because I'm crazy. No, I'm kidding. April Fools. Okay. The reason it's the new year is if you go back in time and you go throughout history, there were only four quadrants in the sky that were used to tell prophecy or to tell what you were doing. You would look up in the sky and you would know it's time to start. And that's because the light got lighter, the daytime lasted longer, and you could start to plan, to plant your seeds, to harvest your seeds, to collect your seeds, and et cetera, all the way along. So what is the time frame of that? Obviously, it's April. It's the end of March, April, spring flowers. You jump forward, you jump into it. And in astrology, Aries, April, is the time frame for new beginnings. Like always on an astrology chart, in the natural wheel, not your individual chart, but the natural wheel of the astrology chart starts in April. That is why this is the new year, not at the end of the cycle, the dead of winter. Think about it, January 1st. I mean, there's snowstorms, no one's planting anything. What's new? You're all in your house hiding from whatever weather's hitting you, right? So that's why I say this is the beginning of the year. It correlates with astrology and the beginning and the birth of children, babies, all the animals are out. You plant your seeds, tulips grow, flowers grow. Then you go all the way to, you go April, May, June, July. You hit July and you start collecting and gathering, but you go through the planning and the process of taking action, the first steps into the new year. Then you go to the belief system behind it, like what are your goals, the communication of it, and then the collection. So we kind of move through those cycles, but not in January. January is the ending cycle. It's an ending.
Sloan, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the show because I just think you just shared with us, and I'm going to go back and take notes, that what we're supposed to do in each season.
Yes, that's correct. That's that we've been, well, mankind has been hijacked because we, and I'm one of them, believe that we need to, 9 to 5, get up in the middle of the night, go to sleep when we're god awful tired, instead of living a natural flow of energy. So they've even removed, I don't know who did it. I don't know who is responsible for calendar making or what they do, but it does not follow a natural rhythm. So it makes sense that we are being pushed to respond in a non-natural way. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It just is not the way it should be. You
Okay,
can't plant in January, so what's new about it?
so potentially then that's why quote unquote New Year's resolutions can't work.
Correct. I never thought of that one. Yeah, I'm gonna quit. I'm gonna quit eating pizza. No, you're not. You're gonna keep doing it.
It's winter. You're supposed
Yeah.
to eat,
It's
right?
winter. You're hungry and it's freezing. You need fuel. Yeah, I always say I'm gonna give up pizza and fries, which never has happened. But yeah, I it's just a thing. But January, when you look at it is kind of the completion of the hard work. When you get to the end of the cycle, January, you go from December, January, February, March, and at the end of April, it becomes new. Remember, new year is new beginning. How is that January? Why is that? Somebody needs to tell me why that's January. Or is it an arbitrary date on the calendar that they picked in order to kind of corral us into a different way of thinking?
Well, it's interesting that you say that a different way of thinking, and when we were talking earlier, you were saying how it potentially throws us off our mark. And
Absolutely. Oh my God. Absolutely. We are not responding in a natural manner. And so let's just look at it. Let's just pretend. Like I prefer to think that we were born for no reason with no goal, no karma, no nothing. That's like a fantasy in my head. However, let's just assume we are born and we all have purpose as human beings. What better way to throw off our collective combined strength than to make us distracted from that purpose and that expression by confusing us about what we're supposed to do? That's exactly what happens. We are told to turn right when we should be turning left, and we go right, and I mean, nothing bad happens, but what we're doing is we've been moved further from our path as human beings collectively. And that's what I believe is the problem.
So maybe nothing bad happens, but nothing good happens, which is technically not good.
Correct, because we have purpose. Human beings have purpose. Now, if I jump into Cuckooville here, which some of your listeners might think.
Wait, you weren't there already?
Yeah, no, I'm only beginning. We're just beginning.
No, I'm kidding. So, go on. I'm loving
the guy
this.
With the butterfly net's coming. sorry.
He's outside. Go on.
Anyway, I locked the door. But if you go under the concept that there are multitudes of different kind of beings on earth, not just human beings, because we assume we're all similar. Like we assume, everybody assumes everybody here is a human being. Besides, we have animals, we have different species, but there's the mankind and then other species, dogs, cats, whatever. But what if within the context of mankind, there are people with different directions? And what if a certain group of people, which is us right now, are following the calendar that throws us off our power, which is what I believe is going on. I believe that's why it's done. You know, you can call it whatever you want, but that's what I think.
So actually, as we dive further into that, you said something interesting. Well, we were talking about how 12 months really should be 13 months, which ties into a woman's cycle. What?
Well, yeah, the women's cycle. I don't believe in the 13 signs. I have to say that because I can't learn another sign. I just can't. I'm sorry. Take your sign.
I know. I said months.
Yeah, months. Yeah, I know. But then that adds another sign to the astrology.
Okay.
But what happens is we have, well, we know this. We have big pharma. I'm sorry. I have to say it. Pushing reproductive medicine, which ruins women's cycles. Our cycles are supposed to be a certain amount of time, which correlate with the moon, the rise and the fall of the moon. Okay. So the beginning, the new moon to the full moon. And we're all off of our different cycles, unless a whole bunch of women live in the same house, but you get the gist of it. Like all women are on different cycles because of the patterns that they have us doing. Some are on birth control, some are on shots, some don't get periods for 4 months. And the reason I'm saying that is it ruins our ability to create the energy around us, because we should be on a real natural flow. Wow. With Mother Earth, for real. We should be. We should. Wow. Not. We need to connect with it. But for some reason, we're all off our cycle. And then it ruins everything from the beginning of creation, a child, and to what that child is here to do. So it's causing all kinds of problems. And if you look up in the sky, literally, I was telling you this earlier, if you look up in the sky, right, stand outside and look up in the sky, go outside in the daylight, don't let somebody hit you on the driveway. But anyway, go outside, look up at the sky, you'll notice that today is April 1st, you should be seeing the constellation of Aries up in the sky. Now, the two different kinds, there's many different kinds of astrology, but when you look up in Western astrology, we have to mathematically correct our correlation of a chart in order to make that happen, because the Earth is even swinging off its axis, if you want to word it, off the ecliptic. So in the olden days, they used to look up in the sky, and that's why they said it was the new year. They looked up and they're like, the sun resides here and it's actually in Aries, and therefore that is the new year. They did operate off of that. Mm. We don't do that.
So this is interesting. So if women are off their cycle and their cycle is more obvious, then men must be off their cycle as well.
Absolutely.
Whatever that is.
Yes. Yeah. No, men have a cycle too. Men have a rhythm and a biorhythm, and it matches with a female's. Like we are entwined. Absolutely. And men are, look, I'll tell you something. I feel sorry for men. I mean, a lot of men, not all, some I don't feel sorry for, but the reason I feel sorry for them is they've been pushed into, and I raised boys and have been around boys, they're pushed into a belief system where they have to take care of everybody all the time. When, like, why is it shouldn't, I understand it's their natural instinct, but why are they responsible for absolutely everything? You see, like we've been, it's a combination. We are supposed to work together. It isn't supposed to be the way that it is in this society. That is changing now. Like they're trying to flip it really in a completely different way. And I keep saying they, I don't know who the theys are. People always ask that. I'm like, the powers that be, those people, the 13 people that rule the world, them. But basically, men are expected. You're expected to work, never cry, take care of everybody. That's a hard job. As a woman, I've done that job, and that's an extremely difficult job to do. It's extremely difficult. It's mind-numbing. So we have half the society that isn't even in tune with their rhythm, and the other half, which is out of whack, so nobody fits, you see?
Wow.
Wow. That's how I feel about it. Just, you know, this girl's conversation here, but yeah.
Well, so you mentioned raising sons, and that made me think of a particular story that you have. But before we get into that story, let's talk about your own story just really quickly so more people know. I love this, that at a very, very, very young age, you were feeling like, my job is to connect with what were you connecting with?
Who the hell knows back then? But I don't know. But no, as a little kid, well, first of all, I spent the first year of my life, well, 10 and a half months in a foster home. Okay. So I was adopted, but no one adopted me. So I was in the foster home until someone did. And so when I went home with them, I'm obviously of a different gene pool. Clearly, that's what adoption is usually. And I would sense things. I was raised in a family that my dad just basically said, like, we didn't go to church, and there was no mention of God other than, I remember being about four or five and saying, what happens when we die? And my dad, with his scientific engineering mindset, said, you just die and you go in the ground and that's it. There's nothing. That's what he would say. Honestly, it terrified.
Now go to bed.
No, I'm serious. I can't. I was terrified. Okay. Oh, wow. Like, seriously, I remember that. So it started, my childhood is kind of marred with that conversation, and it's pivotal in my life because I argued with the man every single night till I was 10, from like 6 to 10. I would wake him up because he had had, he obviously had a mother, and she had passed away. I did not know the woman. No one ever spoke of her because he was a teenager or a young man in his 20s when this happened. And this woman would come to me and tell me to go tell him this stuff. And apparently she was a religious woman. So I would just say things that I felt that she was saying to me, to him. And I would wake him up and he'd put me to bed. And then it almost got hostile. Like, by the time I was 10, he was like, if you open your mouth, I'm backhanding you. Oh. It got like that. Like, he was so
You're aggravated. Freaking him out, I'm sure, also.
Yeah, like he...
For someone who didn't believe.
Well, especially. He still didn't. But I will tell you this. When my eldest son was 13, my father passed away. And it was the day after Christmas. I think it was 2006, actually. But... if I'm correct. Anyway, it was the day after Christmas. I had not been called because they are in Toronto and I'm in LA. So I was behind in the time and they weren't going to wake me up. You know, they wait, right? Until 9 o'clock here. And my oldest son came downstairs and he said to me, Grandpa, and he said, Grandpa with the poodles. So he'd only met my dad once and they have poodles. So that's why he said that. He said, he's in my room and he told me to tell you there is a God. And then my kid went back to sleep. So,
wow.
And I found out 2 hours later, my dad died. I didn't even pick it up. He picked it up. I did not pick it up. That's how psychic I was not that morning.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So, and that was, and he, my son can't have known that because I don't think I ever discussed it with them. Like, I never talked about my upbringing, except, you know, to say I left early, but that's it. So we all can come to our own conclusions and believe it. But for some reason, I had this mindset and that was just my thinking. And when I think about it, I think I was adopted into the correct family, even though nobody would agree that with that on the outside, because it gave me all the training I needed to combat every other thing I had to combat with people commenting. So I'm very strong in the knowledge that I have because I experienced it.
Wow. Well, actually, and you mentioned your son having psychic abilities. I think this is the son that takes us into another story, but we'll get to that story when we come back. You won't want to miss it. SloanBella.com, S-L-O-A-N, Bella, B-E-L-L-A.com. And we have more links for her on the Life Changes Show page for Sloan Bella. After our interview with Sloan, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then we are joined with our performance guest, Michael Tiernan, all here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
So this is our episode 783, Spring into the New Year. And if you have been following along, you know what we're talking about. We're talking with Sloan Bella. And I told you it would be fun. But we're going to get back to the really fun New Year's Eve. You know, earlier you said Christmas, and I was gonna say, was it the real Christmas? Or I let's not go there. But
where I'm going. Before, all over the place before, with that one.
Before we get into New Year and what do we do with this, let's talk about something obviously not fun. And I love this. I mean, decidedly so. I love that I asked our guest before the show, can we talk about such and such and such and such? And she said, of course, it's who I am. And you know what I'm talking about, Sloan. What can you share about that?
Okay. Well, firstly, my son that I was speaking about before, that was my older son. He is still here on this side.
God bless.
But you were talking, thank you. You were talking about my my baby son, Keith. And the reason I say I like to talk about him, he passed in 2020. And there's so, it was absolutely the most brutal thing I've ever experienced, and the most mind-numbing, obviously. He was 24 and he was run off the road on his motorcycle coming from picking the bike up. So he left the bike shop. And a minute later, within under 2 minutes, he was actually on the ground, and within 10 minutes had passed, and I couldn't get to him. But I did get there 20 minutes after. The reason I say, of course, it's who I am, it absolutely changes. And in our culture, whatever culture we're in our country, in our world, people don't speak or know what to say when somebody has a child that passes. And I celebrate my son. He literally is my life. My entire family is my life, obviously, and for me. But when somebody passes, I actually believe you have to forge a different relationship with them. After you move through grief and you get to the point where you're like not happy, but you can breathe and continue on with your day, you have to communicate with your loved one, in this case, my son. And so you learn how to do it differently. And I'm kind of lucky, because not lucky that he passed. I did warn my children the week before. I got the information a month before. I do.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know this part of the story. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
What happened, I'll tell you really briefly, but what happened is I was at my oldest son's daughter's birthday party. She was turning 8. And there was all the grandmothers there, all the adults at the table. And of course, me, I'm scoping up the cake table. That's all I'm there for. I'm like, everybody can celebrate, but there's cake here. So I'm with the other adult looking for cake, right?
Sloan.
I'm like, blow those candles out, little girl, so we can get the cake. And this is how it happens for me. I call it psychic Tourette's. I don't know how to word it. But all of a sudden, in front of the other grandmothers, a couple of them and the aunts, I blurted out, I'm going to bury one of my sons by September.
Oh,
I
like my goodness, Sloan.
And they were looking at me. I said, oh, shit. No, I mean, oh, shoot. I said, I'm going to, well, you know, I said the other thing. I said, I kept repeating it. So when I went home that night, this was in June, because my granddaughter turned 8 in June, the end of June. And I said, I got on the chat with two of my girlfriends, three actually, and I said, you know, I'm having this feeling and I don't know what to do. Well, at that point, I'd gone over to my son's house to boat where my kids lived. And my one son had a motorcycle, but not the baby. He never told me he bought one. His dad didn't tell me he bought one. His brother didn't tell me. And about 2 weeks before he died, I walked into the garage. They never let me in there. Because they were hiding his motorbike that he'd bought in there. And when I saw it, I said, why do you have that? And they were all laughing and joking, and I couldn't get rid of the feeling. And so the week that he passed, that week, about 6 days before, my boys would always, Keithy was 6'4", his brother's 6'3", and they would always like bounce into each other. Like, I got bigger arms. You know how guys do that stuff. Mm-hmm. They were doing that. And I was sitting in the living room, and I said to them, more using curse words, but I said, you two better watch it, because I'm going to end up burying one of you and I don't know which one it is. And it was they laughed at me, but I was being serious. I said, please, my girlfriends and I on the text, my one girlfriend was going to come with me to get a tow truck and we were going to kidnap both bikes. Seriously. My husband said, no, don't take the bikes because they'll just get insurance money. They'll get more. So I listened. I wish I hadn't listened, because my friend's like, we can hide them in my garage. It's free. That was an actual conversation. And about 3 days after that, I got a call at like 1 p.m. And I will tell you without a doubt, and this was the weirdest thing, but I had to wait to look at, he was on the ground. So I had to sit there for 5 hours with his brother, because the coroner has to do what they do. And they put him on the stretcher, and I went right over there, which they finally told me I could. And I literally, this sounds very strange, his face looked the same, but his body was very broken. I couldn't see that. So I just saw his face. And I smelled him. I sniffed him. His eyes were open. His mouth was open. I took note of every single thing, and he was not there. His scent was gone. The scent that I recognize, like I could smell him, that not because of any hygiene issue, just because I recognize my child's scent. And none of that was there. And so I knew right then I was going to have to learn how to connect with him differently, because they are not in the body, that he was not in his body. That was his body, but his soul, his essence wasn't. And the second thing where I'm really lucky is I had just started my YouTube channel. He was my child that told me to start it. And he encouraged me to ignore haters and, you know, laugh at them and stuff. I'm sure you have your haters too, but whatever, those people, the people that say things. But it was interesting because he manifested on live streams. Like I would do live streams where I was live, and I had on my set, I had a blue cloth, or not a cloth, a throw over my chair behind me. And he actually manifested his face while I was live streaming, to the point that everybody watching the live stream, like 2000 of them, everybody was texting me, emailing me and sending me the pictures. He manifests in real time on a live stream. No joke. Like I have those pictures, and some people who watched it, it would be probably September of 2020, I think, because he died in July. It would be in September, and he was manifesting all the time. So it is my belief that they're not dead. And I don't believe they're dead. They're out of their physical body. So that's, and it's a great joy for me to talk about him, even though he's not here. I don't hide him. He is my son, and I'm going to continue to communicate with him. Even if I'm not psychic, I'm going to speak to him. He can hear me. I'm convinced of it. And I know it because he manifests. I've had people watching YouTube who send me messages and they're accurate. They're like, I don't know
Wow.
you and I'm not psychic, but I dreamt of your son and he said this, and they are accurate.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yes, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sloan, more power to you, and thank you for sharing. I knew bits and pieces of this story, but the way you shared it on our show tonight, didn't know. So thank you. Well,
Thank you for letting me.
thank you. Thank you. You have shared so much with us, and it can be confusing, of course. And when we talked about how do we share this in a positive way, you said something beautiful. You said knowing that we are confused or knowing that something isn't right, and having that confirmation, that's positive. That's a good start, right?
That's empowering. Oh my gosh, because it not that you have to fight or rage against establishment, but using your own God-given connection to figure out if something is logical to you and choosing to stand in your power and express it is one of our greatest gifts as a human being. I
Nice.
mean, it is. You get to stand there and nobody can take your power. Your belief is your belief, and that's that. And they can't take it.
Okay,
Nobody.
so let's say somebody's looking up at the stars, and by the way, I know you were joking about I don't want to learn a third astrological
Yeah.
chart, but you actually said also in this conversation that you all, you at least, make
Yes.
changes because you know that it's not exactly like it should be.
Correct. Well, that's how you erect a chart. Yes, in modern day Western tropical Placidus astrology, which is the type that I use, that is what you do. If you use sidereal, that is not what they do. They stick to what's out in the sky. So if you're a Leo in Western, you're a Cancer in theirs because they look up at the constellation. We mathematically correct it.
So then, in a sense, we could do the same thing with our lives. Like earlier, you were saying there's the time to plant and the time to collect and harvest. So potentially, we could start right now. We could make our New Year's resolution. Like, if we're believing some of this, we could,
Yes.
and even if it's not true, we could still make a New Year's resolution today. And maybe that one will stick, or two or three. Hey, you can do your no pizza thing.
Yes, exactly. I'm not giving up pizza, though. I don't really want to, but I'm going to keep
Aha,
stuff in my face.
aha. So
But
what else can we do though?
okay, well, there's things that I believe that change, and I'm just going to give you one. Everybody's always talking about manifesting, always talking about how do I get this, how do I get that. Let me word it to you the way that I've learned, okay? So, not that this is just an observation. If I say to you, I don't have a purse, I'm talking like, and I'm going to manifest a purse, I want a purse, I want a purse. Like people say they want a house, they want a car, they want a this. That is telling the universe that you don't have it. Right? Because you want it. So you're like, I don't have a purse, I don't have a house, I don't have a car. The way to manifest in any circumstance, whether it be career, money, cars, girlfriends, babies, whatever it is you want, is to do something that puts a smile on your face that you enjoy. And it is not to ruminate on, oh, I skipped work so that I could go to the pool and swim laps, or so I could take my grandkid for a stroller, or I could get my nails done. It's something that puts a smile on your face. So, in fact, during this time frame, which is the fire sign Aries, and we're going into eclipse season, so eclipses absolutely manifest. In other words, the energy's stronger. So, if you put your mind into feeling abundantly joyful, and that takes work, that doesn't happen from an outside source, that's an internal thing. So wherever you are in your life, whether you work at McDonald's or you work as a CEO or you don't have a job or you're in your car, whatever it is, as long as you choose to go through your life with a smile and feel abundant because you're doing at least one thing a day that puts that smile on your face, you will absolutely start to manifest in the direction that you would wish to be. But it won't be so focused on what you don't have. It will be focused on that feeling of joy, which is abundance in and of itself. People don't understand that. They think they actually have to be specific, like I want a car that looks like, it's not like that. You have to feel joy and it will come to you. You have more than one choice come to you.
Sloan, can I tell you that doing this show puts a smile on my face, and doing it with you today has brought it over the top.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay, what sign are you, Mr. Flirty?
Well, I don't know, actually. June 26th. I've been told I'm Cancerian, but, you know.
You are. We're going to just, in Western, you are. We're in the West, so yeah, you are. That would be a Cancer. I'm like, what is this flirty man saying here? Thank you. Yes. Excuse me.
That will be your nickname from here forward. Flirty man.
Oh man, you That's are so funny. My handle. Oh wait, speaking of handles, excuse me. Did I find you on Twitter under Sexy Psychic?
Yes, that was. Yeah, that was before I turned. How old I am now? Yeah. That was my Snapchat handle, and I never changed it.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I mean, X is okay.
Make this a regular segment.
What, Flirty Man and Sexy Psychic?
And Flirty Man.
I was sexy 100 years ago, but yeah, no, it's just funny. That's from like 15 years ago.
Yeah, oh no, my gosh.
Seriously.
It still works, and I'm serious. So we have links
to Flirty Man.
YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok links, and of course, her website and a video of her very, very sexy psychic kind of video. You could go to SloaneBella.com and of course at Life Changes Show for Sloane Bella. Sloane, I feel like this is, are you in LA?
I am in LA. Uh-oh. Unfortunately.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm in LA.
Great.
Where else would I be but in the dungeon of LA?
Well, this has been the place for you to be working as psychic to the stars, that's for sure. So,
yeah, you have to go to their watering hole.
Certainly, right. Certainly you done that and do that. There's so much that you do and done. And so, you will let us know when the book comes out officially, and yes, you'll let us, we'll be in touch, I'm sure. SloaneBella.com. Again, we have our links at the Life Changes Show. What an absolute pleasure. Can't wait till next time, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. It was wonderful. And I'm staying to listen to your next guest because I'm just going to do that. So I'm going to mute myself. I'm going to mute myself, but I'm going to listen.
All right. Thank you, sexy psychic Sloane Bella. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Agnes, and I'm a little confused. My mother-in-law was offering a description of an event she attended. When she finished telling her story, she ended with the phrase, "And that's how the cow ate the cabbage." I've never heard this expression before and didn't want to look silly by asking her what she meant. Do you know why someone would say this particular phrase?
Dear Agnes, the phrase, "how the cow ate the cabbage," is an idiom that means to understand a situation or to know what's going on, and is usually used when someone has figured out something that was previously unknown or confusing. It is also used to tell someone an unvarnished truth, even if the person would rather not hear it. Growing up in Texas, I heard this phrase quite often. After I heard my grandfather say it for the first time, I asked him to explain to me how the cows eat cabbage. He informed me that they just eat the leaves because they have no upper teeth. Then he told me the phrase was a better way of saying that's just the way it is, and is not really about cows. If you research the phrase online, you might be surprised at the number of articles that explain the phrase's meaning and origins. The phrase has a fascinating history, and I'm glad you asked this question about a phrase I have used and heard all of my life, but had never really thought about how it came to be so popular as it was in my life in Texas. Enjoy.
And if you want to know how the cabbage was ate, or you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect. So I should say it's April 1st and it's New Year's Day, and that's how the cow ate the cabbage. And with that, we'll be right back with our performance guest, Michael Tiernan, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, and I'm still laughing at how the cow ate the cabbage. And it's time to have our performance guest on, who is all kinds of things, actually, himself. I'm thinking of all the conversations we've had. He's an award-winning singer, songwriter. We'll say more when he comes on. Michael Tiernan, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
So good to be here. You are my people. I am loving this show. My smile is maximum right now.
Nice. Well, and that's beautiful to have you say, because I'm thinking of so much of our conversation revolved around so many topics. And I guess, you know, we should, since this is about music, let's start with music saving your life.
Oh, yes. Yes. 16 years old, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, kind of threw me into a loop. Yeah, existential kind of crisis sort of thing, thinking about the big things as a young dude. And, you know, going through that experience, all the difficulty and a lot of the beautiful things, it was about a year later as I was kind of struggling with different existential questions that kind of music just entered in. And it was on a retreat, and one guy was playing guitar in an empty church, and his name was Steve. And something just spoke to me, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's the tool I'm gonna learn." And that's how I kind of just started processing what was going on inside me, and kind of been doing it ever since.
You know, it's interesting that we talked about so much of your music that I have heard, and I was asking, "What does this mean, and where did that come from?" Mm-hmm. And you said, "I'm not a medium or anything, but I kind of tune into what the people are going through, and then I write a song." I'm not laughing. What I'm laughing at is that you tune in. Like, I was totally tuning in. Oh, I should say this. If people want a perfect example of that, there's The Perfect Path. Mm. And that's a song that's coming out, but we have the video on the Life Changes page for Michael Tiernan. Actually, that's a great place to start. You want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, gosh. And tonight worked out so well because of your guest that just was on, Sloan. Oh my gosh, if you're listening, hello, Sloan. I was mesmerized, and I've been really investigating that, you know, possibility or ability in myself, you know, as a listener. A lot of, you know, through most of my life, I've been writing about my songs, kind of listening to myself. The last several years, I've been tuning into listening to other people's stories, and really just trying to tune into what they're saying, what they're not saying, what needs to be said. And more recently, I've been writing a lot of songs about people who have passed. So, Sloan, I need to get your number, and you need to counsel me on that ability, because I'm sure there's a the other side needs to sing as well, right?
Mm.
The song "The Perfect Path" it just came out a couple weeks ago. You guys have an early version of it on of the video that's coming out soon. You have an early version of it on your site right now, which is
nice.
Really cool.
Oh, right. It's not the public, right?
Yeah, nice. It's great. Thank you. It's a little sneak peek if you guys want. But yeah, that's about a young man who was murdered when he was 20 years old, delivering a pizza, murdered by a 14-year-old who was trying to get in a gang. And that song came about through hearing the dad's incredible story of forgiveness and how that choice to forgive his son's killer led to millions of lives being transformed. And so that's kind of when I started kind of writing those sort of songs. I just try to pay attention to what makes my heart come out of its shell and you know, gives me tears, and I try to put myself in those people's position and write from there. So that's where that song emanated from. And I would like to think that, you know, it's another way that Tariq, who is my friend Azeem's son, who was killed, that, you know, his presence is still here in that way as well. So it's just an honor to do that.
Thank you for sharing that. And I do recommend people go to Life Changes Show and see that sneak peek to the video of a song that's coming out real soon. And why don't we, there's more that we want to talk about, but let's head into a song. And, sure. And you know, you are so funny, Michael. I said to you, as if it's not hard enough choosing from the number of songs you sent to us to choose from, I said, in case there are others who want to make it harder, go ahead. And you did.
Yeah, I can't pass up that opportunity to confuse more people.
So I'll tell you, we picked two.
Awesome.
And I think you might be surprised, but the first one is Inside Your Head. So talk to us about that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that, that song is just about, that's one of that comes from me, you know, kind of processing my own, thoughts and, processing of the world. And yeah, just when we get so caught up in our own thoughts and kind of just stuck, and losing that perspective that, you know, we kind of create these stories in our head that we need to kind of get perspective on, let the light shine in a little bit, connect with the outside world, realize that everybody is telling themselves a story and creating their reality in their head. And to just, first identify that and then step back and really just sink in and let those stories go and just be in the moment. And that's what this song's about.
Has this been released yet?
This one, yeah, this one's been around a bit, but it's one of my favorites.
It's available where music is available?
Yes, and other places where it might not, other because places. You don't know what you know.
Okay, well, we'll talk about those other places in a little bit. In the meantime, we'll get to hear Michael Tiernan's pre-recorded song that's already released, Inside Your Head, here on the Life Changes Show, Online Edition.
Milling around the universe, each with the universe inside their head. And in the same room, on the same street corner, with the same sun shining in, one can feel alive and the other dead. Well, cause it's all inside your head. Yeah, it's all inside my head. got different eyes than me. One calls the other crazy for believing it. But is it out inside our head? Division's out inside my head. So let the light shine in, and all the walls cave in, and love is no division. It's all relative inside my head. Oh, oh, oh. Feel all these people looking for the same things as me. Each has a million different means to which they reach. And in our minds, jumbled up in time, it's an easy thing to be seduced by the need to put each other in categories. What is it out inside our head? Division's out inside my head. So let the light shine in, and all the walls cave in, and love, there's no division. It's all are starving internally. Some who have wants and the others have needs. Why do I feel so empty in a time of plenty? I wanna see with my eyes, wanna feel with my heart. And when my head gets in the way, I wanna smash it apart. But if it's all relative, then relatives we shall be. The head will make us strangers, but the heart a family. If we let the
Whoa, Michael Tiernan, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh my gosh, I actually haven't listened to that song in a while, and I was bopping on my chair over here.
Right?
That's right.
So Michael Tiernan, or Tiernan Tunes, actually, .com. Tiernan Tunes. Tiernan is T-I-E-R-A...
T-I-E-R-N-A-N. It's not N-A-N. It's not as fun to say as your name. Voltaggio. Oh my gosh.
And you say it so well. Thank you. Well, actually, that's funny. You should say that because when I was looking at your background, I started to read how you were learning or where you were playing guitar in the streets of Europe as you were going around Europe. And I'm like, you know, one learns a lot doing things like that. Mm. But then all of a sudden you go into a completely different experience where you are in the desert with monks in a monastery and wait for it. And then you end up as a seminarian, and not just a seminarian anywhere, but in the Vatican in your 20s. So you bring all of this obviously to your music.
Yes, absolutely. Those were very formative years. You know, like I kind of mentioned before, the guitar and writing kind of pointed the way for me figuring my own stuff out. And that's where it led me at that time. And I actually, in that desert that you mentioned, I had a spiritual director. His name was Father Raymond Gavronsky. He was a Jesuit. We were talking about Jesuits earlier. And this is a priest who could lead you in the 30-day exercises of St. Ignatius, or he could give you a Zen retreat. He was like a Roshi Catholic priest. It was cool, really cool, like my kind of guy. And he told me as I was like, hey, you know, entering the seminary, I'm in 30 days of silence, and you know, just talking to him on certain days. And he said at one point, he's like, you know what, Michael, that's, you might be a priest. He's like, but you're really an artist, and you still might be a priest, but you're gonna kind of, you most likely suffer quite a bit, but you can be an artist priest, but, keep writing songs, and that's going to show the way, right? That's the way God talks to me, I guess. So, Well, yeah. So yeah. But I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. But I wanted to be a priest. And so then they sent me to Rome and did more of my formal studies there.
Well, maybe your quote unquote priesthood is what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, it makes sense. It's not a straight line, but it's some sort of line that got me here.
Yeah. There are no straight lines. So I say that not actually tongue in cheek. I believe that there are many ways to heal. I believe there are many ways to spread joy and love and messages. And this next song, which we picked of all the songs, is exactly that. And so we weren't going to play it because it's a longer song. But we're going to let it go a minute over because it from the moment that you were introduced to us, this was the song that came with you. And you were introduced to us, of course, and we give a big thank you to Allison Goldwyn of Synchronistry. Yes, hi, Allison, and thank you. And she brings people that really we connect with, and she said, you've got to hear the song. We heard the song, and then we went on to others, but we came right back to You Know Which One. So tell us about Children of the Stars.
So this one also is kind of serendipitous with tonight's guest is it's about the stars, and it's how we are children of the stars. We're all connected. And it's a story of my friend Patrick out in Colorado who gave up a very good lawyer career to kind of just go be in the desert. And he has this wonderful story of, as a young child, walking in the evening with his mom in the flatlands in Texas, of having this experience where he could hear the stars' frequencies. And he's been able to do that ever since then. He gets up at like 3 a.m. every morning and he listens to the stars sing. And the closest thing he found on human terms was this, the way this one guy played a gong that he saw on YouTube. So I wrote this song for his experience and also for this town of Crestone in Colorado for their Dark Skies Festival. And I went out and recorded his gong and talked to him about it and gifted him with this song.
Oh, wow. Wow. And now you're gifting it to all of us. Has this been released?
This is coming up. This is on my next album, TBD on exact release date, but it'll be in June or early July.
And you'll let us know so we can share with all of our fans, right?
Absolutely, baby.
So here is, it's pre-recorded, but maybe this is a world premiere on radio?
This is no one except Patrick, and maybe my wife has heard this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I am so glad then that we are getting to hear this together. Here is Children of the Stars, Michael Tiernan. Thank you. That's so special. Michael Tiernan.
World premiere.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us here on Life Changes Show. Tiernan Tunes, TIERNANTUNES.com. And we have all his socials and that video we talked about earlier in the show at LifeChangesShowPage.com, or rather LifeChangesShow.com on Michael Tiernan's page. Do you remember I hope you do, the rest of the lines to this, because I didn't get a chance to write it down fast enough. Redirect your eyes, look up to the skies.
Yes, we will realize that we are children of the stars. Oh, we will realize all the beauty that's inside, because we are children of the stars.
Yeah. That's it. Wow.
Yeah, so by looking up, we look in. When we look in, we can look up, and we're all connected.
Wow. So beautiful. Michael, thank you so much. I knew the show would be fun. This show has been very, I've been touched and moved, and I have to thank you, Michael, for that, and I have to thank Sloan for that. Thank you both.
Absolutely. Michael. My pleasure.
So, Michael, let us know more, and I'm sure we'll connect more, and I look forward to it. In the meantime, a big thank you to Michael Tiernan, and a big thank you to our interview guest, Sloan Bella. That is our show. Happy New Year, everybody. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark LeJour, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.